Tantalus. Perhaps the best-known torment the gods ever devised is that which was dreamt up for the wicked king Tantalus. The consequences of his crimes had ramifications that rang down through the years. The curse upon his house was not lifted until the very end of the mythic age. Tantalus ruled Lydia in western Asia Minor, the region later known as the Turkish province of Anatolia. Mineral deposits from nearby Mount Sipylus had yielded him enormous riches, from which he established a prosperous city, which he immodestly called Tantalus. He married Dione, one of the Hyades, or rain nymphs who suckled the infant Dionysus, and by her had a son, Pelops, and a daughter, Niobe. There was another son, Brotias, who liked to hunt and whose life seems to have been uneventful compared to that of his siblings. He is said to have carved a figure of Cybele, the Anatolian mother god, into the rock of Mount Sipylus. Parts of it are still visible to the tourist today. Either there was a kink in Tantalus's personality, or his power and wealth had fooled him into believing himself equal to the gods. Like Ixion before him, he made the mistake of abusing Zeus's hospitality, in his case by returning from a banquet on Olympus with stolen ambrosia and nectar in his pockets. He also committed the unpardonable solecism of telling tales about the private lives and mannerisms of the gods, amusing his courtiers and friends with insolent mimicry and gossip. But then he committed a blood murder, one even worse than Ixion's crime of casting his father-in-law into a pit of burning coals. Hearing that the Olympians were furious at his mockery and the theft of their nectar and ambrosia, he made a great show of repentance and begged that they accept his own hospitality in recompense for his misconduct. Now, all of this took place around the time Demeter was searching for her abducted daughter Persephone. In her grief, she had allowed all growing things to wither and die. The world was barren and infertile, and no one knew how long this would last. The prospect of a feast came as a welcome excitement. Knowing of the opulent and ostentatious lifestyle of King Tantalus, the gods were greatly looking forward to the legendary pleasures of his table. They were in for a shock. The Olympians may have subsisted on ambrosia and nectar, but they took great delight in the variety offered by mortal diets too. As the Pelasgian king Lycaon had done before him, Tantalus served up his own son to the gods. The young Pelops was killed, jointed, roasted, slathered in a rich sauce, and set before them. They sensed instantly that something was wrong and declined to eat. But Demeter, whose mind was wholly on her lost daughter, distractedly picked at and ate the boy's left shoulder. When Zeus understood what had happened, he summoned one of the three fates, Clotho, the spinner. She collected the body parts, stirred them in a great cauldron, and put them back together. Demeter, awakened to her dreadful lapse, commissioned Hephaestus to carve a shoulder from ivory to replace the one she had consumed. Clotho attached the prosthetic, which fitted perfectly. Zeus breathed into the boy's body, and Pelops stirred back into life. Pelops' great beauty attracted Poseidon, and for a while they became lovers. Yet darker forces were at work with the youth, and his later life and deeds called down a curse upon him and all his house, named by historical convention the House of Atreus after one of his sons. Compounded with the curse earned by the abominable crime of Tantalus, this curse was to pursue his descendants down to the last of their line, Orestes. Tantalus himself was dispatched straight to Tartarus, and punished in a manner befitting one who dared tempt the gods into eating the fruit of a monstrous blood crime. He was placed in a pool of water up to his waist. Above his head waved the bough of a tree, from which hung luscious and appetizing fruits. Hunger and thirst raged within him, but every time he stretched up to take a bite, the branch would swing out of his reach. Every time he stooped to drink, the waters of the pool would shrink back to deny him. He could not move away, for above him, threatening to crush him if he dared try to escape, hovered a great stone of the hard blue-grey element that would one day be called tantalum. Tantalum is one of those refractory metals that is essential these days in the manufacture of many of our electronic devices. There Tantalus stands to this day, agonizingly close to satisfaction, but always denied it, enacting the tortured frustration that bears his name, tantalized, but never satisfied, until the end of time. A Tantalus is a small cabinet containing two or three drinks decanters, usually of brandy, whiskey, or rum. The drinks are on display, but the cabinet is locked, and thus tantalizingly out of the reach of the children of the household.